Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. It is NFL free agency time of the year. Been really fun this week, especially around here. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, Calvin Ridley to the Tennessee Titans, 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. Reportedly, interest from the Patriots and, of course, the Jags, but he ends up here with the Titans. What did you make of that move by Rand Carthon and the Titans and the fit of Calvin Ridley here with Brian Callahan?
It was hard not to remember standing behind John Robinson at the league meetings and hear him talk about how there's no way he was going to pay A.J. Brown the kind of money that wide receivers were getting, and then have this signing come in and not be like, well, geez, like sometimes wide receivers get paid that money anyway, whether it's A.J. Brown or not. I think it's a good wide receiver to add to the mix, especially given, his skill set, deep threat guy. His season last year was definitely affected, I think, by Trevor Lawrence was banged up, I think, all season long, even beyond the ankle. When I was at the combine, I heard that, they were having issues with Lawrence's health almost out of the gate there. And I do think that affected some of his production. Are there potential red flags? Yeah. I mean, look, anytime a guy gets suspended for a year, someone who stepped aside said he was, dealing with mental health issues. Again, I don't want to say that. And, I hate putting that in the red flag category, but he obviously had a spate during his career that kept him off the field for the Atlanta Falcons. However, prior to all of that, this was a guy who I remember a number of teams were lining up to trade for him as a quality number one wide receiver option. So the talent is, I think it's unquestionable, and it's a huge upgrade for them at the wide receiver position. Gives them what I think is a true number one locked in for the next few years. Free agency in general, I think, has been really good for, Will Levis, the Tony Pollard addition, definitely the backfield. You're going to see a different kind of running game or a different kind of backfield for the Titans. And I think just what they do offensively, Lloyd Cushenberry, another good quality addition. I think it opens up, obviously, with the Ridley signing, opens up what you can do with that first-round pick. I would assume that, I can tell you, I think a lot of teams are looking at the Titans now, believing that's an offensive tackle pick for Tennessee. But I think the thrust of free agency, this is what Rand Carthon's doing. You can see how they're building it. And I think if you're Will Levis, you got to feel pretty good because you feel like, all right, they're shaping this around me right now. We'll see. I'm sure they're not done. There are going to be other additions now that we get to this second wave where maybe it's a little more cost-effective additions to the team. But very good, I think, off the bat. By the way, Cheeto, too. Chidobe Awuzie, another player that is – I've always liked. I liked him going back to Dallas, liked him in Cincinnati. Very good, I think, veteran corner who – is not wildly expensive, but adds a lot, to that group, the mix. Nick Folk, Kenneth Murray. There's just been a lot of really good signings, I feel like, in terms of the talent and some of the veteran experience brought to the team. Even, Mason Rudolph, I think, showed down the stretch last year that there's quality and there's talent there to add to the backup quarterback spot. I have to assume he'll win that job as the number two. And, I think top to bottom, as far as a first, foray goes for Rand Carthon, this looks pretty good.
Well, second technically, but yeah, it does feel like the first.
Yeah, what I mean? Yeah. It's first where it's like, we know, right. This whole thing is geared around him now.
Yeah. So, okay. A couple things on Ridley, Charles. first of all, we were talking about this. So it's like he's 29. It's a lot of money. You know, obviously, sometimes receivers lose their speed in their 30s. I mean, we'll see on that. But first of all, do you believe that the Jags were seriously wanted to keep him? And second of all, do you think there are any off-the-field concerns with him? We know the gambling thing happened. It was stupid. Beyond that, any concerns?
To the Jags. I mean, I think the Jags botched it, you know, just in terms of how they could have kept him. You know, I think in retrospect, knowing how everything unfolded, they could have used the franchise tag on him and just juggled that a little differently than they did. You know, I think the pick give up complicated things a little bit for them. But, you know, I didn't – there was nothing I had heard where they didn't feel like, hey, this is a quality player and, you know, he had a good relationship from everything I understood with Trevor. And so I think they feel like this is definitely a loss. I also, though, I can tell you this. I don't think they thought the numbers, at least, you know, maybe a month before free agency, you know, you get to the combine. I never heard the numbers that where Ridley ultimately ended up. As you said, there were some other competitors there. And I, you know, I think that drove this a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, I think the money probably factored in a little more than the Jaguars ultimately, you know, thought it would. The off the field stuff, I don't, you know, he wrote the piece. What was it for? Did he do that for Players Tribune when he came out and he talked about what
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed by that when he did it because, you know, this is, it was a situation where I think a lot of us didn't really know what was going through his head and how everything had unfolded. He had said obviously some things on social media about exactly what he had done, but I think taking the step, going to Players Tribune, explaining himself in a way that I thought was pretty thoughtful, you know, I think that you could see why teams were willing to, especially the Jaguars, were willing to give him a second chance. It's still, of course, you know, I mean, it was a boneheaded decision, and you know, you think you like to believe he worked on this and learned from it after it's tough to sit out for a year and be a pariah. I mean, really at the same time, I mean, it was so shocking when that whole thing happened. And I remember initially a lot of people were like, this dude's career is over. Like he's done. He's never going to come back. And you know, so I'm sure that's a lot for him to have gone through, but I never heard anything out of the Jaguars that this was like, oh, you know, there's this problem or he's, you know, it's not a good locker room guy. I never heard any of those things. I think, especially coming out of the combine, the thought process was that they would re-sign him, but they would re-sign him beyond that deadline that you know, would have elevated the draft pick that they sent to Atlanta in exchange for him. But, you know, again, I think maybe the one shocking thing is just kind of where the money went for him. But I would say of all the teams that probably needed what he brings to the table, the Titans are a good match because Levis drives the ball down the field. If you have a quarterback with the skill set that Levis has, particularly a guy who can get it downfield, you better have some wide receivers who are fast enough to, you know, make that happen. And this guy fits. I understand what you're saying about the age, but realistically, you know, what are we talking about with this contract? I mean, it's a 2 to 3 year deal. I know the numbers are what, 492.
Yeah.
I don't consider almost any contract now really beyond 2 years, particularly with teams willing to, you know, if there's money that goes into the third year, which is, you know, somewhat rare, a lot of teams will eat that now if they're not happy with the player. So really it's a 2 year commitment and I don't, where his age is at, I don't think he should be affected by it.
Charles Robinson with us here on the program. So Charles, two part question for you. Number one, what do you make of the fit of Derrick Henry with the Baltimore Ravens? And number two, what do you make of kind of the changing around the league of scenery that we saw from the running back market this week?
Yeah, Henry, I mean, it's of all the places that you put him, right? I mean, it makes sense. I think he and Saquon Barkley ending up in Philadelphia, the you know what those teams are about. You know what they bring to the table. And Henry really fits well with the mentality that the Ravens want to have in their run game. It's you know, like I said with the Titans, you're going to have it's just going to be a different look. It's not it's less of a power run game. It's more about with the Titans, it's more about the different aspects, matchups that you can bring to the table, rather than we're just going to beat the crap out of you and eventually you're going to wear down and break. And I think that's exactly what the Ravens are looking for. I think it's the team that will get whatever he's got left in the gas tank. I think they'll definitely get that out of him. And the surrounding personnel, it made total sense for Henry. Like, to me, it was like Patrick Queen goes to like Pittsburgh. I'm like, yep. Yeah. Okay. Like it makes sense with what they like to do defensively. This is what makes sense for Baltimore offensively. The running back position in general, I think it was a little overblown, this whole idea that it's like, oh, it's the year of the running back, and look at all the traction and these big deals. Really, there's one big deal that was done. I mean, if you look at Josh Jacobs with Green Bay, initially I was like, wow, you know, what a sign. And then I looked at the contract. I'm like, this is a one-year deal. I mean, basically it's a one-year contract for him. It's an impressive one-year contract, I think, because he'd walk with over $14 million, but he could also be in free agency again next year that quickly. So the commitment beyond the Saquon Barkley deal, it felt like, sure, running backs are getting the attraction that feels a little bit different. It's a poor running back class in this year's draft, so you see why some of that is happening. But I didn't see any of the long-term commitments where I'm like, wow, you know, teams are really making a serious commitment to these players. And then even the salaries, man, it feels like every other position, as the cap has been blown out, we've seen elements of that position. We've seen the top end change. And even, you know, for some, the middle class change, running back hasn't, I know, at least not commensurate to where the cap has gone. And then when you reflect it against other positions, I still feel like, yeah, a lot of guys, you know, change spots, and it's interesting. And it does reflect a willingness to spend at least in an initial year for a running back, but I don't see the commitment that makes me think, oh, it's back. It feels like it was before to me. And I think it was curious how the media, I feel like a lot of us just jumped on that as being the big, huge early storyline of free agency. The Saquon deal, I will say, is, that's pretty legit. And, I guess I hope they better hope he stays healthy for what they committed to him.
We just want the running backs to be happy.
Yeah, we do. That's what we're about here on this program.
Joe, they have Wi-Fi. Okay, they're fine. Their Wi-Fi works, so they're pretty happy.
I hope so.
It makes one of us. Well, more with Charles Robinson with Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Continuing our conversation with Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports.
Charles, you wrote about Justin Fields. Fascinating domino here. Obviously a big domino, Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. But Justin Fields, the market, the situation there, I thought you had a really interesting idea for where what might be a good fit for him.
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting as things progressed last week. You know, you come out of the combine and you start to talk to agents and, other personnel people just about what they thought, where the landscape was going quarterback-wise. And, you know, I had a really prominent agent who's done, you know, trades with facilitated trades for his clients before, getting them out of certain situations, you know. And he just said to me, he's like, hey man, Fields' trade market's gone. Like, he's like, as a starter, he's like, you know, when you stack it up now, kind of knowing where the interest is amongst other teams, either from the standpoint of drafting a quarterback or going out and getting either Russ at that point or Kirk Cousins, he's just like, I'm telling you, this is just not a starting chair for him right now unless something dramatic changes. And then that's obviously what has unfolded. And, now you're to the point where, as this agent said, he's like, you know, don't just look for where's the weak quarterback. Let me figure out a way to stick him there or make a trade there happen. He said, you put him where a weak quarterback is, maybe it's not a good team. And yeah, maybe he beats the guy out in 2024, but he has, you know, it's a poor surrounding for him, you know, doesn't have great traction. And the next thing you know, he's hitting free agency where people are really down on him versus where they are right now as a trade asset. So, you know, to me, I think when you look at what the fit is and knowing that this team is working on their backup quarterback spot, they want to improve it. The Eagles have a need at backup quarterback. I don't think they want to go into 2024 with Tanner McKee being their number two. And you know, they know that Hurts takes punishment. There's a possibility he's a guy who could miss games. And I think they want somebody in there who has starting level experience. A lot of those guys have already been plucked elsewhere as backup quarterbacks. And then you look at Fields, you're like, okay, well, this guy's, yeah, it's 1 year of control. You're not going to pick up the fifth year option. He's making, you know, once the roster bonus kicks in, he's making $3.2 million basically in base for whoever deals for him. So it's a pretty, you know, cheap, considering level of experience, it's a pretty cheap backup quarterback option. He fits what their offense does. I mean, the RPO stuff that they run, it would make, I think it gives him more traction in terms of what he does best on the field right now as a runner. You know, I think Kellen Moore being the OC there, even for Fields, that's potential upside because I think Moore vaults back to the top of head coaching lists if he can put together a high-end, you know, elite-level Philly offense this year. He's going to be a guy who teams will be interviewing next year potentially as their head coach, and now Fields knows his playbook and he'll be a free agent. So if Philly, everything is, you know, aces for them and Moore vaults to the top of head coaching lists and Fields has a successful run as a backup there, you know, now he has a free agency destination. So there's just a lot of things with the Eagles that make sense in terms of Justin Fields. Not, I don't think that's what he wants. He wants to go out there and be a starter next season. But that's just not available for him right now. And unless something changes between now and, you know, when they have to make a decision on him, which I think is by the draft, this to me is kind of the creative outside the box team that maybe a lot of people aren't thinking about. And I know Howie Roseman right now is working on figuring out what he wants to do at the backup position.
What about Kirk Cousins to Atlanta? What do you make of kind of that decision and the fit for him with the Falcons?
I'm curious to see with Cousins what ultimately unfolds in terms of how the end came in Minnesota first and foremost, because I do think, and I think we talked about this on the phone or on previous shows, like Kevin O'Connell wanted to keep him. Like, I know he wanted Kirk Cousins to be their starting quarterback next year. But as we talked about in previous shows, I think Kwesi Adofo-Mensa, the general manager there, was just like, we got to figure out the guarantees. Like, we can't just guarantee, you know, keep giving these fully guaranteed contracts. And, you know, for Atlanta to step up the way that they did with Cousins and the $100 million in guarantees, which, you know, now what, it's going to take his career earnings to at least $321 million. He's a bag-securing guy, and the Falcons had the bag. And it makes sense 100% in terms of their roster construction. They have a lot of talent there right now. I think whenever you talk to anybody in that organization the last couple of months, they would just keep repeating over and over, if we can just figure out the quarterback spot, if we can just resolve the quarterback spot. Well, this was the best veteran resolution that was there. I personally still think they should have gotten involved with Lamar Jackson a year ago. You know, Arthur Blank didn't want to do that. So, you know, Kirk Cousins ends up being the guy there, but I think they have the talent to squeeze out, you know, a couple quality years for him. I think the division that they're in, the NFC South, it should instantly, I think, make them, not that they weren't before, but it should instantly make them, in my mind, the leading candidate to win that division this year. So, you know, I think for what it was and what the Falcons needed and, you know, Kirk feeling like, hey, you know, I want the structure that I want. I want the guarantees that I want. This makes the most sense. So, but I'm in the long term, though, I'm very curious to see whether the focus gets put on Minnesota and, you know, is this sort of the first sign that, hey, maybe the head coach and the general manager there are on the same page, but maybe not entirely on the same page. So,
do you think Kirk Cousins can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Oh man. I'll tell you what, I think operating that offense that he operated, which is like the McVay Shanahan offense, he had gotten to the point when he tore his Achilles that he was finally, it had taken him basically 2 years to fully be able to master that offense. But there was a reason why when he tore his Achilles, he was playing at I think arguably the highest level of his career, is because the offense does suit him. And once he had it nailed down, I think they felt like that play, that level of play that they saw prior to the torn Achilles, was he'd leveled up as a player. So to me, I'm like, if that's real, then we were seeing something from Kirk Cousins we'd never seen before. And I would have liked to have gotten an opportunity to see that on a playoff stage. Now he goes into the same offense in Atlanta. The OC runs the same deal. It comes from the Rams. So he already knows the playbook. They're calling the same things. As long as the Achilles is okay, I think we should still see the guy that we saw last year, and they have the surrounding pieces for him to play at a high level. I can't say, you know, he's not, what do they always call it? Like the personnel guys, trucks versus trailers, like, you know, somebody's pulling you to a Super Bowl, or are you pulling him? He's a trailer, you know, I think Flacco won a Super Bowl. Now, granted, the team around him was unbelievable. The defense was great. You had all these elements, and he caught a heater, unbelievable heater at the right time. I think Cousins is capable of that, but you know, he doesn't, if you ask me who are all the Super Bowl, you know, quarterbacks capable of winning a Super Bowl who are 30 and over, he'd probably be a little down the list for me because he hasn't proven it. Right. I mean, what do you guys think? You got to see him prove it. And until they prove it, you're going to continue to question him. Just wait. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to sign a contract extension. We're going to go, all right, but you know, like, has he really lived up to everything we thought? And is this guy worthy of being the highest paid player in the NFL? But that's the kind of contract he's going to sign when he does an extension.
Charles, last thing for you here, Houston bringing in Danielle Hunter. They've traded for Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
DeNico Autry here from the Titans. I mean, they're loading up. What do you make of what the Texans have done to this point in free agency?
Oh, it's the going for it, like, off season for them. I don't think there's any question. As you said, I mean, those additions, the defense was already, it looked nice last year, you know, especially in spurts, it looked really good. And, you know, I think the veteran additions that they've made are, you know, it's geared toward flipping a switch on this. Like, they're not going to be patient. They're going to go ahead and go for it now. And, you know, let's see. I'm curious if CJ Stroud was unbelievable last year. There's no question in my mind that that's real, but nobody's caught flat footed against him this year. Like, everybody's going to know that this is the dude, and let's see, you know, what gets thrown at him in 2024. I want to see him replicate what he did as a rookie. And I don't think he can just replicate it. I think he's got to continue to get better. And, but yeah, there's of all the teams that I think had the splashy sort of, you know, free agency and an off season so far, I think the Texans are the one where you're like, okay, they feel like they're on track and they're putting their, you know, they're pushing the gas pedal as much as they possibly can to try to become contenders as soon as possible in the AFC. So they're going to be a handful in the division. I wouldn't, you know, if you'd ask me, hey, how's the division shape up? I'd be like, I'd just be worried about Houston right now. Like every other team, there were pluses and minuses. But Houston is the team that I feel like you're going to be aiming at competing with long-term now. And that's when I think about Levis, I mean, that's like, all right, you need him to round into elite form, not just to win games, but, you know, Stroud might be a bear to deal with for the next decade in the division. So definitely impressed by what they've done. And one other thing too, I want to bring up, you guys didn't bring it up, but I think I should, because Joe asked me the question, I think early in the season this year about Baker Mayfield. And I was like, the dude's toast. He's never going to be a starter. You know, like I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, congratulations to Baker Mayfield for putting together the season that he did. And I think I even kind of banged Mike Evans a little bit on the show at one point, and clearly that was not my sharpest call. So, but I will say this, we can go ahead and timestamp this. I'm not completely convinced that we're going to like that signing by the Buccaneers in, you know, a year or two. I think Baker had a lot of success in Tampa, but I question the teams that success was achieved against.
Let Baker bake.
let Baker bake. Let Ran run. Right. Don't say let Ran cook. Let Ran run.
I kind of like let Ran run better.
I kind of like that too. Wow.
Maybe
have the next excellent contribution to today, Charles. Excellent.
That's it. I saved the best for last.
Yes, you did. Well, Charles, we know it's a busy time of year. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. Joe, relax on the press Wi-Fi. Nobody cares, by the way, Joe, when we complain about the tools we have at our disposal. Nobody cares.
You would be throwing an absolute tantrum. So
I would have been the biggest baby on earth. No, my diaper would have been off. Everyone would have seen my bare butt. I would have been absolutely. It would have been you and me. I would have been in the box ranting together.
Yes, we've been there.
God, I would love to see it. Be pretty funny. Good stuff. Thank you, Charles.
Amen.
All right, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest. We'll react to what Charles had to say. More thoughts on the Calvin Ridley signing by the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us. Titans big move yesterday, signing Calvin Ridley. 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. Joe, we've talked a lot about the Ridley contract today. So as we start to piece together all of it, what do you make of the deal? What do you make of the money? And what do you make of the fit that you think you'll be with this Titans offense and Will Levis?
Before I answer that question, because I don't want to forget this, how about Charles saying he heard John Robinson say that at the owners' meetings, that he wasn't paying agent? You know, Charles, you could have saved us a lot of trouble, buddy, by telling us right then. Huh? Thanks a lot,
That'd
Charles.
That'd be nice to know.
I'm going to have to yell
buddy
next week.
Zach from Football and Other F-Words pointed that out. I believe the meetings that year were like March the 27th through the 30th, and the draft was a month later. So it'd be nice to know.
That was a month of hand wringing and speculating all that. We could have just figured it out right then. Yeah, that's not going to help J Rob's post job approval rating.
Probably not
on the interwebs there. But as far as the deal for Ridley, it's a big number. You know, like Charles said, I mean, you do have to keep all these things into context. Like the running back numbers, they are bigger than I thought, but they're still, if you look like a percentage of cap and you look at it compared to the inflation everywhere else, it's still underwhelming. And the inflation everywhere else is overwhelming. or it's at least whelming, but it's probably whelming to overwhelming. So, I mean, even like making the comparison, as we dunked on earlier in the show, anybody like – screaming at the Titans for not giving that deal to AJ Brown, but giving it to Ridley. Well, yeah, that GM got fired. But also, like, if you compare this deal to what AJ got, even just a couple years later, I mean, it keeps going up, man. So I don't have a problem with the money. It is when you first see it, you're like, whoa. I also think it's really interesting that Charles, I mean, I took from what he said there, what it kind of has appeared to be and has been reported, which is that the Jags did want him back, but you know, there's a limitation on what you're going to pay. And the Titans came in with the money. I mean, I think I'll find Diana Russini's tweet, but she tweeted something to that effect last night too, which is basically like the Titans came with the money. It's how they got Hopkins. And now it's how they got Ridley, came with the best deal. And sometimes it's just as simple as that. So I think that's a good reducing of the red flag a little bit, right? Like the fact that Nick Holtz is with him is here and they went after him. And as long as it's not like the Jags are like, please leave, then, you know, you feel a little bit better about the deal. I mean, it's the guy's really talented. I think that last year's production, it wasn't a great year. It wasn't a great year for anyone there in Jacksonville, but that production from him after the suspension, after the broken foot, I think answered a lot of questions. And, you know, obviously you just hope if you're the Titans and if you're a Titans fan that getting this bag, getting this new start here after the 1 year prove it deal, he's going to be motivated to show everyone why and not just be happy to get the bag.
Well, Well, and you got a 1-2 punch now with Hopkins and Ridley, and again, Hopkins got one more year. So, to me, I like it on paper. I like, you know, the options that you now have at wide receiver. By the way, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine re-signing today, so a 1-year deal. So Burks, NWI, Ridley, Hopkins. That's the kind of the makings of your receiver core right now. I said it earlier, Joe, and I stand by it. Like, to me, it doesn't change my draft plan at all. Like, I think it makes it more likely than it already was, and I think it was pretty likely beforehand, that you're going on offensive tackle at number 7 overall. But to me, if there's a receiver there at 38 in the second round that you really like, take him. You got Hopkins on 1 year left on the deal. And look, maybe that receiver wouldn't get on the field as much as you would like in year one with Ridley and Hopkins in front of him. But I think it's worth it if there's a receiver that you really like in the second round. To me, the Ridley signing should not change that for the Titans.
I agree. Look, Hopkins may just be one more year. You may just have the 1 year with Hopkins and Ridley together. You don't know what's going to become of Burks. I mean, you don't know for sure that NWI is going to become a 10-year All-Pro. I mean, that still could be in the future for him. But I'm going to guess no. But, yeah, I mean, if you get it's a great receiver draft. Well documented. There's a lot of guys. If you could get a receiver to sort of be the replacement for Hopkins, then now look, you also, and I'm probably more open to this idea than you are. I mean, maybe Gentry's more open than I am, but like maybe Treylon Burks does end up growing into, you know, being somebody who can be a more significant player, but you can't count on that. I mean, you can't count on it right now. That's going to be interesting to see how this affects him, but I'm with you.
There's been a lot of that over the last day. I get the thought process. I really do. I cannot get there with Treylon Burks. We did so much talking about Treylon Burks last year, heading into camp and heading into the season. I can't get there with Treylon Burks until I see him do it in an NFL game on the field consistently at this point. So I get it. Like, there's a lot of talk from Titans fans of, oh, this could be really good for Treylon Burks, and just wait till Treylon Burks breaks out this year. Yeah, I can't do it. Like, I'm not getting there with Treylon Burks until I see it actually happen.
No, I get it. You're a Treylon Burks hater. It's totally fine. He's your new Marcus Mariota. No, I mean, in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, it's gravy.
Treylon Burks ever caught his own pass? I don't think so.
Well, he did, but he did make an incredible cross field pass, though. One of the most amazing trick plays I've ever seen drawn up. Speaking of the Jaguars. Yeah, I'm with you. I also, though, think that, well, first of all, I mean, I think you could get quality at receiver in the fourth round, but I also think that it's best available to me in the second. If you do what we think they'll do, someone asking, Officer Watson asking from Clarksville, asking like who could, or no, it wasn't him. Somebody else asked. Sorry, I can't keep up. Like who's a threat to take Alt before the Titans? I think the Chargers would be a threat to potentially take Alt before the Titans. So we'll see how that shakes out. But if you do that, if the first round addresses left tackle and you draft the guy you think will be your left tackle for the next, you know, several years for a rookie deal and a big second deal, then I still think like best available in the second round. I think best available is a good way to go anyway. But if you have, someone mentioned Tavondre Sweat, who is a ridiculous athlete at D tackle, an edge, that then I don't think you, yeah, then you take best available. But if it's a receiver, yeah, do that. Absolutely.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your final thoughts on the signing of Calvin Ridley and the other moves that the Titans made yesterday. We'll get into those as well coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios. Keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Big day in free agency for them yesterday. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Matthew. Matthew, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're good.
Great.
Good. Hey, what about, and y'all may have already talked about this, and if you did, I'm sorry, but do you think that there's a chance that the Titans will get that tight end out of Georgia with a 7th pick, or you think you'd already be gone, or – Is he not that early?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matthew. I mean, do I think they'll do it? No. Do I think he'll be there and available for them to do it? Yes, I do. I think Brock Bowers will be there. And look, I would consider it. I mean, look, and I've watched a lot of Brock Bowers. I think he's going to be an absolute stud in the NFL. So it's hard for me to get past that in terms of just like dismissing Brock Bowers out of hand, because I think he's going to be very, 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 very good in the NFL. At the end of the day, you got to find a left tackle. And I think whether it's Joe Alt or elsewhere, you got to do that in the draft here. And I think the signing of Calvin Ridley does kind of tell me maybe how the Titans are leaning with the number 7 overall pick. But, I mean, I can't just outright dismiss Brock Bowers, but I think they're going left tackle.
Yeah, the mock draft world, which, look, I'm guilty of this like a lot of people, turns into like, you know, it becomes like you think it's reality. It's not. It's mock drafts. But in mock draft land, Brock Bowers is going into the teens before he's picked. So take that for whatever it's worth. I mean, some of these mock drafts are done by people who talk to a lot of people, and they're not just guessing. But, yeah, I think he'll be available. I would not hate the pick. I know this is weird, but I thought he was like a 6'6 monster, and he's only 6'3, and that bothers me. Why is that? I don't know. I know that's weird, but like, I'm with you. Watching him play football, I think he's going to be great in the NFL. So I wouldn't hate that pick either. And by the way, at left tackle, I'm a fast new guy. So baby hands and all, I'm on the fast new train. And so maybe if I'm right, then maybe someone takes Alt, and it'll be clear for them, and they should take him. I know that Zach says, the Chargers have Slater, and they've never drafted a tackle in the top 100 ever. Not sure how relevant that is, but worth mentioning.
It's worth mentioning. I mean, look, what you love, I don't know if it probably won't shake out this way. You'd love, if you're the Titans, to have no tackles off the board by the time 7 comes around, and you got your pick of whoever you want, be that an Alt or a fast new, whoever you got is your highest rated tackle.
Well, except again, if the decision is made for you, then you didn't screw it up, right?
That is
like,
true.
Like if you have to pick between Alt and Fashu, you pick the one who's not good and the other one's an all pro, you screw it up. But if someone already takes one of them, then there you go. It makes it easy for you. I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it.
I will say, and we'll get more into this tomorrow, though, now that Cousins is in Atlanta, like the idea of having to move ahead of Atlanta to draft a quarterback, I would assume that probably doesn't help the Titans in terms of like a team trying to get in front of them. I mean, I guess if you're Atlanta, you could still draft a quarterback, but I'd be surprised if they did that with the money they're just going with Kirk Cousins. So maybe the trading scenario of a team trying to move in front of Atlanta to get a quarterback, maybe that's less likely now with Kirk Cousins in there. I mean, somebody's going to want a quarterback, and somebody might move up in order to do it, but the Atlanta part of it seems dead.
Right, like, yeah, exactly. They're directly needing to get in front of Atlanta is over, so that does probably reduce the chances that they'll move back. Matthew asked, did we share the same reaction to Mason Rudolph as Jared? I didn't hear it. Apparently, he had a total meltdown. I have no problem with Mason Rudolph. He wouldn't be my first choice. I like Dobbs better. Yeah, I like Flacco better. You're paying more for Flacco, paid less for Rudolph, but Rudolph is fine. It's not a terrible thing. He's a backup quarterback who could win you a game or two in a pinch, and that's what you need from a backup quarterback.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.